James, the fourth chapter, verses 2 to 3, the Message translation. You wouldn't think of just asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Your spoiled children, each wanting your own way. Bible Before Breakfast, Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo here. Good morning. Wow. We're almost done, guys. I almost can't believe it, that we've come this far. Just about a week to go on Soul Porch. When we started, I honestly didn't know how far we were going to get or how we were going to make it through. But don't you feel lighter? Don't you feel better? Don't you feel happier that somehow you've thinned your life so your communion with God is thickened? It's such a beautiful feeling. To know that it's now more of Christ and less of you. To know that you are decreasing daily and Christ is increasing in you. Such a beautiful feeling. So today we're going a step further. And not to throw jabs at anyone, but I honestly think today is going to be very hard for millennials and Gen Zs. You guys are going to so struggle with today. But hey, that's just me being cheeky. Today on Soul Purge is no entitlement. So we're purging our entitlement mentality. Today is going to be hard because we've gotten so used to getting what we want, when we want it, and how we want it. Today's scripture says, you wouldn't think of asking God for what you want. Why? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. Then he says something interesting. He says, you are spoiled children. You are spoiled children. Every time I read that, I feel like Uncle James is berating us because he knows what's in our hearts. Maybe because it was what's in his heart too. James chapter 4, verse 1 to 2, the New Living Translation explains what he was talking about here. He says, what is causing the quarrels and fights among you? It says, don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. It says, you are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet, you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And so it says, you wouldn't think of asking God for it, would you? And why not? Because you know you'd be asking for what you have no right to. And then he says, what has been running through his mind? He says, you are spoiled children. You are spoiled. Each wanting your own way. You are spoiled. And so I think that we've become spoiled children. Wanting what we shouldn't have. Expecting what we don't deserve. Acting like we're a bag of chips and more. Like sometimes it's ridiculous how entitled we've become. Someone said to me a couple of years ago that he was so angry at his dad. And I said, why? He said, because our dad sold our house without telling us. I'm like, excuse me? He says, our dad sold our house without telling us. I'm so angry at him. I'm like, I'm sorry. When he was buying the house, I don't remember you putting a dime into it. So we probably need to correct that statement. But first, we need to correct your entitled mind and your disrespectful little mouth. Your dad sold his house. And I'm sure you didn't stop to think to ask, why did he sell his house? Probably because he can't afford your school fees anymore. And he's trying to do whatever he can to get you the life that you deserve. But no, your entitled little self is only thinking of yourself. So now you're thinking, how do we move from a house we own to a rented apartment? I don't know. You just do. You carry your bags and follow your dad, whoever he is, and appreciate him for all the sacrifices he's making. And this is many, many years ago. So I can tell you that things have seriously degenerated after that. Let me show you something that I found in the scripture. And it's very interesting, really. Matthew 20, I read verse 9 to 11. Then I read 13 to 14, the Passion Translation. This is about the man who hired people. And when he got there, he hired some. He saw them just standing around, you know, and said, oh, you don't have anything to do. Could you work for me? Yes, they agreed on a standard wage, right? The landowner agreed with them. He came back again a few hours later, saw some more people hanging around, and he said, oh, you guys going to work for me? They said yes. And he says, you know what? This is what I'm going to pay. They agreed. They started working. A few more hours later, he finds another batch of people just standing around doing nothing. And he goes to them and says, I have a job for you. Are you willing to work? And they say yes. So he says, okay, this is what I'm going to pay. So at the end of the day, right, he started paying everyone. Now, verse 9 says, when those hired late in the day came to be paid, they were given a full day's wage. And when those who had been hired first came to be paid, they were convinced that they would receive more. I don't even understand your plan in somebody's pocket, but hey, okay. But everyone was paid the standard wage. When they realized what had happened, they were offended and complained to the landowner, saying, the landowner, so they complained to the landowner saying, oh, how, why would you do that? You paid people that just came at the end, the same thing you paid those of us that have been working since. And then the landowner replied them. He says, friends, I'm not being unfair. I'm doing exactly what I said. Now, didn't you agree to work for the standard wage? If I want to give those who only worked for an hour equal pay, what does that matter to you? And that honestly is how we become. We expect things that we shouldn't expect. So for instance, they agreed with this landowner that we're going to pay, you're going to pay us so amount at the end of the day, a standard day's wage. Now, he hires people 1 hour before close of work and decides to pay them a day's wage because it's his money. Now, he paid from last to first. So he paid those that came in about an hour late. And when the people who had come in earlier saw what those ones were paid, their entitled nature came out and they were convinced that they would receive more. What is giving you the mind to expect more than what you agreed on? And that sometimes is how we become, not just in the world, but somehow we become like that in church. We expect that those of us who have served God longer should receive a better reward. I'm waiting to see. It's just that Jesus won't give me a chance. I would have liked to stand at the entrance when they are judging certain people. Because some people are going to be so shocked that people who got saved 5 minutes before the rapture are going to go into the same heaven. Sadly, they're not building a special heaven for you. It's the one same heaven we're all going to. And we're all getting rooms in the mansion. Some people are going to be so mad. They're probably going to, I don't know if they're going to be like the elder brother and not decide to come into heaven. They just sulk outside. I don't think so. God will pay you. But it's just so amazing how we become. This person has just gone born again. Why do they think they can serve God? This person has just gone born again. Who told them they can preach? This person has, you don't own rights to the kingdom that other children of God don't own. So I've seen people question the mercies of God simply because they are entitled. So I don't know whether yours is the example of people who are entitled in church, or people who are entitled at work, or people who are just generally entitled. They expect, they think the world revolves around them. They think that everyone must worship them, everybody must be nice to them. They walk into a place and automatically expect, oh, I need special seating. Why? Who are you? You must get to the place where you understand that it's not about you. And so today, I know it's going to be hard, but we're going to do what we need to do. We're going to have to get to the point where we are no longer entitled. We're not like those laborers who argued with the owner of the business, argued with the owner of the salary. If you have anything, it's by the mercies of God. So stop acting like the whole world owes you something. Anything you have is by the grace of God. Anything you have is by the mercy of God. Anything you've been given is the love of God. If you think you're pretty, it had nothing to do with you. You arrived here and just so that you look that way. If you can sing, honestly, it's not because you do all the vocal trainings. Yes, you may have turned the gift into a skill, but you were gifted. You're not singing because you are special. You're singing because God graced you with the gift. Oh, when they hear you preach, you have the gift of prophecy. Gift, gift, gift. Can you hear that? Gift. It's a gift. So stop acting like the world owes you something for a gift you were freely given. It is by the grace of God that we're all saved, and no one should boast about it. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 9 says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's the grace of God. It's the mercy of God. I watched a movie recently, and there was this little girl. I think the movie's titled Love, Kennedy. And there was this girl who was losing her sight. She had a very rare disease. And the only thing she wanted to do since she was a little girl was to cheer. And so the school she was at, they had this set of girls who were cheerleaders who were so kind to bring her on the team. And yes, she was a mess because she couldn't see. She was blind. So she was just cheering. And everybody also overlooked it. And one woman, unfortunately, the woman was sitting behind her parents where the parents were videoing the girl. The woman says, who is this girl? She's making us mess of everything. Why is she there? She's spoiling everything. She just went on and on and on, acting like, oh, the whole world, other people are in the room, they didn't complain. Other people saw the girl on the stage, they didn't complain. She just went on and on. Fortunately for her, she was behind the parents. And at the end of the day, the dad, with tears running down his eyes, tapped her as she was leaving and said to her, I'm so sorry, but I just wanted you to know the girl you were criticizing so badly, she's my daughter, and she has a disease. She can't see, she's blind, and she's losing her motor skills, and explained the whole condition. The mother says, oh, I'm so sorry, I didn't. I'm like, can you just be kind? Can you not just feel like, oh, because you came in to be entertained, there are other people in that room. The world doesn't revolve around you. So today, we're really going to take the time to purge every feeling of entitlement. People don't owe you anything. So don't act like they do. Good morning. What a wonderful way to start your day. Bible before breakfast with Mildred Kingsley Okonkwo.